Meeting of the Fair Hope City Council, our first meeting of the year, January 3rd, 2019. Michelle, would you call the roll? Oh, I'm sorry. Bear with me. This is the first time, and I'm already screwing up. So we're going to stand and have the Pledge of Allegiance, a moment of silence, which will be led by outgoing President Curtis Vaughn.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now, Michelle, would you call the roll?
Councilperson Aller.
Present.
Councilperson Azar.
Present.
Councilperson Crossan.
Present.
Councilperson DeBod.
Here.
Councilperson Elliott.
Here.
Councilperson Garrison.
Present.
Councilperson Morris.
Here.
Councilperson Nasser.
Present.
Councilperson Nation.
Here.
All are present.
Thank you. As is our custom, we will have up to 30 minutes of time for public comment on items that are not on the agenda. If you would like an agenda and don't have one, there are some up here on the first queue, and you're welcome to come and get one. So is there any comment for the good of the... Please state your name and address before you make your remarks.
My name is Donald Hyde. I live at 1411 Poplar Street. Well, we've made it to 2019. The first of the 3 years I was talking about is now in the books. It's over. It's history. The second year of what I was talking about from the get-go is now. The first year, we were talking about state and federal offices. The campaign was about that. This year is all about local politics, local issues. I'll be interested to see how both the voters and the government at all levels deal with the local issues, because that's what really is the election's about. The city election and the county election. There's nothing beyond that, really, as far as I know. I could be surprised, but I don't think so. And this is an important election because this is the one, because our democracy is supposed to work from the ground up. And everybody's supposed to participate in it. And lately, I don't think everybody's voting. I don't think everybody's participating in it. And most people I talk to simply say the same old story. Nobody listens. Nothing you can do about it. I don't care. Now, but the I don't care part bothers me, because they should care. I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, Independent. I don't care if they have no degree of anything. It's the government that runs our nation, our county, our city. It's the laws that keep us going. And if you don't care, I don't know what to say about that. But I think one of the reasons they don't care is they're not seeing anything happening about their issues. And that's why I'm saying this now. For once, I'd like to see the city council, the mayor, the county council, and the county commissioners worry about things that affect this city and this county, and the issues that affect these people. Not the state, not the federal government, but locally. And I can tell you right now, one of the big problems we have is safety. And I'm not seeing any effort made to make our community safer. In fact, it's going the other way. Now, let me clarify what I mean by safety. Right now, the easiest thing to see how safe our community is has nothing to do with law and order, has nothing to do with bad, good, or indifferent. It has to do with our ability to see at night. Now, long ago, before the invention of the light bulbs, at night, everybody went home, went to bed. They got up at the coon's age to do chores, but they stayed home. They stayed on their farms. They didn't go out in the streets. Of course, back then, there weren't that many streets, were there? When we got forward, we built streets, we built sidewalks, we built roads. We began to light up the streets when they invented light bulbs. In the modern age, for some reason, we've decided we're going to save money, no matter what the cost. And nobody discusses it. Nobody argues about it one way or the other. They don't care. Whatever saves money, we'll go for. So they come up with new ways to make the light bright, but they don't measure how far that brightness goes, how well it's lit. They don't care because it's cheaper. I say that if you cannot see at night when you're driving a car, except for your headlights, you might as well be driving on a country road somewhere where there's no lights at all. Now, that's one thing, to drive on a country road where there's no lights at all, so all you got to worry about is that possibly a deer running across your road or something else. But when you're riding in the city in cars, there's all kinds of things that you could hit without even knowing it if you can't see them.
Mr. Hyde, I'm going to ask you to try to wrap up your remarks.
That's the first thing I wanted to talk about. The other thing is I'd like to see the city council make plans for the future. In other words, what I hear from everybody, I literally mean everybody, good, bad, or indifferent, is they see nothing new, nothing different. It's all the same, and they see everything getting worse, not better. And when I say worse, I don't mean worse gets being done. It's, in other words, like I said with the lights are still there, but they're not as many, and they're not as bright. The Boys Club still exists, but it's nothing like it used to be. And, of course, the YMCA is completely gone, yet the building still stands. Is there leadership? And, by the way, let me finish up here. One comment. Right now I know for a fact that there are more than 100,000 people living in Bible County. When the colleges are in session, that number jumps up to 125,000. In the city of Terre Haute, the numbers are between 65 and 70,000. Again, when the college is in town and opened up, it jumps up to about 80,000. With that many people, I cannot believe we cannot find more leadership and more people willing to volunteer if we allowed such things to happen. Something to think about with this new year. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the public who would like to comment on a non-agenda item? Okay, then we'll move on to correcting the journal of the preceding meeting.
There are none.
Okay. Communications from the mayor.
Madam President, members of the council, Mayor Duke Bennett, I gave you a couple of documents. The first one I'm going to talk about here during this update time is our 1782 notice from the state of Indiana. So really simple this year. On December 20th, we received our initial 1782 notice. I know some of you may have been on the email list, not sure who all was or wasn't. You have to sign up for that. But that's one of the, maybe the earliest we've received it since I've been mayor. They're really trying to get their act together with the new commissioner at the DLGF, but normally we don't get the first notice till late January into February, and I think one time is almost March. So this is pretty good to be able to have it before the new year starts. In that initial, if you turn the page and you look at attachment A there, and you'll see that it's dated 12/20/18. If you walk through those items, you don't have to look at it right now in detail, but they've all been approved except the last one, the transportation budget. And it says there that budget has been decreased because projected revenues are insufficient to fund the adopted budget. So as we do every year, when we get our 1782 notice, then you have 10 days to provide updated information to the state. And so we've gone through this every year. There's always something that they decide not to approve or change, if you will. And in this case, they reduced the budget from a little over $3 million to $2.6 million. So what happens during that 10-day time frame, we call them up, we email them, whatever, and provide them with the information they need for that particular fund that was not approved. So there were two things that we did this year to make this fund be in compliance. One is they were using old tax cap numbers themselves. They weren't using the newest information that was available. So that resulted in about $100,000 of additional revenue for the transit fund. It's transportation or transit. And then the other thing we did was we moved $300,000 of CADGET money from the general fund. There's overabundance of CADGET dollars there. And so we shifted them over to the transit budget to cover the $400,000 difference. So if you look at the last sheet, your attachment B, you will see at the bottom that that budget has now been approved as of the 28th of December. It says budget approved for displayed amount. And then below that are the notes saying that circuit breakers were adjusted and lit certified shares, which is CADGET, were moved from the general fund to the transportation fund. And so very simple correction to that. So all the budgets that you all approved have now been approved by the state at the exact levels that we submitted and you approved. So that's just more informational purposes only. This is the official document for your record. There are some other notes that come with it, with each of the funds that show a variety of pieces of information that Michelle will post. I don't know if you've done that yet or not. Have you posted that information yet? Have you received that from any of the councilmen? All right, I'll give that to you tomorrow, and then we'll put it out there. It's just some backup documentation for each of the funds that the DLGF does. I really don't look at those particular papers, but there's a lot of detail in there that supports that. So I'd be happy to answer any questions about this you may have.
Any questions from council?
None, that's it. It's good news. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Are there any reports from city officials?
No, I have not received any.
Okay. Any report from the Board of Public Works and Safety?
There are none.
Reports from standing committees?
There are none.
Reports from non-standing committees?
There are none.
Items previously tabled?
There are none.
Tax abatements for confirmation?
There are none.
Items on second reading?
Again, there are none.
Items on first reading?
General Ordinance 9, 2018, amending City Code, Chapter 10, Article 1, Unified Floodplain Control Ordinance. Area Planning did table this ordinance.
Council, Eddie Felling, City Attorney. I'm going to ask that this be withdrawn this evening. We're still working with the Area Plan Commission. I believe they set up a formal committee to review this. We get formal language from IDEM every so often to update certain portions of our city code, and we have hopefully are going to have some changes. We're going to resubmit to IDEM for further review to make it less strenuous on local development here within the city. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, but I would request that we move to take action on this evening and then to have it move to be withdrawn.
So the action you want is for it to be
withdrawn? Withdrawn, yes, please.
Are there any questions from the public about this? There are none. Are there any questions by council members?
Yes, I move that we take action to vote tonight.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilwoman Aller and seconded by Councilman Nation that we take action on this matter this evening. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It passes.
No. No.
With
no.
President, no. The motion to take action passes. Yes.
I move that we withdraw General Ordinance 9, 2018.
Second.
It has been moved by Councilwoman Aller and seconded by Councilman Nation that we withdraw General Ordinance 9. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? The motion to withdraw passes. Thank you. Next item. Michelle?
Special Ordinance 41, 2018, authorizing a tax anticipation warrant loan. Just as a note to the council, you cannot take action tonight because of legal advertisement. It will be next week.
Okay, thank you. Mayor, would you like to comment on this?
Madam President, members of the council, Mayor Duke Bennett, this is the second document that I handed out to you. I'll walk through this. It's really the same format that I've used the last several years to provide the information necessary to make a decision on the tax anticipation warrant. I'll start by saying that the $4 million was repaid on the 28th of December. Our total interest paid last year was $153,961.64 on that $4 million TAW that we had. This special ordinance requests a $3.5 million tax anticipation warrant, so it's $500,000 less as we continue to reduce our borrowing to help from a cash flow perspective from both redevelopment and the TAW. And so just as a reminder, these funds are specifically in advance on the money we're going to get in December when we get our tax disbursement. Tax anticipation warrants are used very regularly by municipalities and counties and school corporations and libraries, a variety of folks, especially who've been hit by tax caps over the last few years. They've really taken advantage of the tax anticipation warrant that was authorized by the state of Indiana many years ago to allow us to get that advance. What would happen tonight, well, since you can't vote on it, but next week, if the council takes action on this, then what we would do is we would go out to bid with this, like we always do. Last year we were a little bit ahead because we went and solicited some things because of request of council, but right now we're in a much better financial position, so we believe we'll get several quotes for this. So we will, if the council approves this next week, then we'll go out to bid, and then we would close it sometime in mid to late February. So we're not paying any interest we don't need, but we would time it out to be that we would receive it just like we did in 2018, where we received it in the last portion of February to minimize that interest. We continue to reduce our borrowing, as we've talked about. In 2017, we had a $9 million total. We had $4 million in TAW and $5 million from the Redevelopment Commission. In 2018, we reduced that to $6 million, $4 million of a TAW, and $2 million of redevelopment. And then in 2019, what we're talking about is $3.5 million in a TAW and a $2 million redevelopment loan that equals $5.5 million over the last 3 years. But in June of this year, we intend to pay back $1 million of the redevelopment loan and only carry $1 million to the end of the year. And in July, we intend to pay $500,000 on this tax anticipation loan. So we would owe $3 million in December, which would also reduce our interest on this particular loan. As we get additional revenue, it allows us to put money back that then we can use to fund ourselves. That's the goal here. Whether we do it all in the TAW and we completely get out of redevelopment, you know, there's some on the council that didn't want to use any redevelopment funds. I think we still need to have those conversations as we move forward. There are plenty of revenues there, and we really want to reduce our interest, so probably a balance of this is the way I see it. But right now what I'm proposing is to do it just like this with $3.5 million as a TAW that will carry us to the end of the year. We'll pay back $500,000 of that in July, and then we'll still pay back the $1 million in redevelopment funds in June when we receive our tax disbursement. I would say that I don't know what the final numbers are going to be for 18 yet, but they'll be much better than they were in 17. So we will put some cash back. We anticipate some additional property tax dollars this year because of the assessed value increase. We don't know what that number is yet. The state has not put out new tax cap information, but they will at some point. We've got numbers from Umball where they crunch some, you know, they take some of the data the county has and they've taken a look at it. And so there was a 7% increase in assessed value, but there are appeals out there. So there's going to be an increase. We just don't know how much. And then the other piece of good news is that we'll start collecting public safety LOIT money in January. We originally thought we would only collect 3/4 of that because of the way the county had written their ordinance. But they were overruled by the state and told them that those collections needed to start in October of last year. So you begin the fourth month after those collections of receiving money as the local entity. So we'll get approximately $2 million spread over the next 12 months. We've not received our first disbursement, so we'll see if that estimate is accurate by the county's financial folks and by our financial folks. But that's kind of where we're at. That's what's changing. So if you remember, the budget for this year, more of just a point of emphasis, is our budget was approved based on the old tax cap credits. So they claim we're losing $13 million this year in tax caps. But we're not. It's going to be less than that. So once we get the new numbers, we know that that money will be going to the reserves, basically, because the general fund and the other funds are already balanced, and they were balanced using the lower revenue amounts, the only thing we had to work with to get the state to approve our budgets. And then I just made a final note on here about our bond anticipation note with the county. We made a payment last Friday. Our current balance with the county is $4.5 million. We anticipate paying a minimum of $1.5 million on that this year, next year, and then in 2021 when it's to be paid off. If we can pay more on it, we will. We'll just kind of see how the cash flows are in wastewater utility, sanitary district, which right now they're very good, and so my guess is we'll probably be able to pay a little bit more than that, but we'll see how that works out. So I wanted to give you an update on that. So the two following pages in here, your Appendix A and Appendix B, on Appendix A shows you our operating cash pool, which are all those funds that reside in that general fund-related cash pool. There's basically three cash pools. I'll just kind of remind you. Redevelopment has individual accounts, but they're all part of a pool. Sanitary district and wastewater is its own pool, and then everything else falls into this other pool. And so this first sheet shows you, if you look across the bottom line, you can look at the individual columns at your leisure, but it shows you if we do not do a tax anticipation warrant, you'll see what our cash balance for the pool will be this year. So first couple months we're okay, then in March we're 1.1 in the hole. And then we go to 3.4 in the hole, 2.4 in May when we get our partial distribution of property tax funds. And then we're positive $5.3 million in June when we get the rest of our funds. And then you can see how it plays out the rest of the year. It drops down again in October and November, and then we finish the year with about $6 million of cash in this pool. The second sheet, B, shows you those same funds with the $3.5 million tax anticipation warrant. So you can see when we get to the March and April time frame, we stay positive, and we stay positive throughout the entire year. So this tax anticipation warrant takes kind of those valleys out from a cash perspective. This particular sheet is, there's some seasonal things in here. Edit, as an example, you know, most of our spending doesn't start until April and May, and then it kind of goes until November, early December. We've got seasonal hires and the golf courses and the Parks Department. We reflect that in here. This is based on a 100% spend, which we won't have 100% spend, but the general fund will probably be about a 1% under. We've narrowed it down so much there isn't much left to not spend in the general fund, but it'll be around a 1% at the end of the year. But this is all based on 100% spend. This is what we typically use, and this is what the state uses to measure our performance. And so I guess I would, after public comment, I'd be happy to answer any questions, but there's nothing unique about this other than we'll put it out to bid. First Financial and Terrell Savings Bank, I'm sure, will be right at the top of the list. They're happy to provide that, but we'll see what the market bears. Maybe we'll get a bit of an interest rate reduction. We'll see. We paid 4% back in 17. We paid 4.46% in 18, and you know, rates just went up recently, so I don't know what the current rate is on a tax anticipation warrant, but we'll find out soon. Our goal is to eliminate this, obviously, as quick as we can, and we've made significant progress. This will just be the first year we really had any new revenue since the trash fee, and so we'll be able to take a bigger leap this year than we have been able to the last 2 years. So that's all I have on the presentation part, and I'll wait and answer questions.
Thank you. Is there any comment by the public on this presentation regarding the TAW loan?
Yes, I've got a question for the mayor.
Could you state your name, please?
Oh, and my name is Donald Wayne Hyde. I live at 1411 Poplar Street. I can see at my house. I don't see as well as I used to, but then again, age might be part of that, but I can see. My question for the mayor is where he's talking about safety, and I got to believe that the lion's share of the safety money, and again, I don't know, I'm only assuming, goes toward the light bill that lights up our city, that lights up the streets and the roads for safety purposes. And then I hear the mayor say that there's going to be $2,000 from the state extra, but we're going to might use that over here in some sort of shell game thing. I thought, I'd like to know, does the mayor know, and can he tell the council and me and the whole city how much our light bill is and how much it once was in 2000 before they started slowly cutting back how many streets they lit and how many lights they put around the streets. And then in how much they saved, and vice versa, did it save us money, or are we simply getting less light or more money? And I'd like him to ask, tell me why, if we're going to get $2 million extra for safety, we don't put some of that money into getting better lights. And by the way, I forgot to mention, the new overpass that's been built, that's open, and it's being used right now. I've had people who tell me there's no lights on it at all. Now, every time we built one of them overpasses, when you went over it, be it bike, car, or whatever, it was well lit. That was so well lit that it was brighter than Wallace Avenue, for God's sakes. Now, this new one has no lights on it at all. I'd like the mayor to answer that as well. Thank you.
Mayor, would you like to respond?
You want me to do that now? I'd be happy to.
I've heard this conversation numerous times as I've attended the council meeting, so let's just set the record straight on a couple of things. Under my administration, we have not removed one light anywhere on the streets. Not one. Not one. There may be some in alleys that people used to pay for on their own. We only pay, the city has only ever paid for lights on the street. Any street lights that are in the alleys are done by private citizens or businesses. Those times, they come out sometimes. If people don't pay their bill, they take the light out. We have not had any reduced. I can't tell you right this minute what our bill is just for the street lights. I know what our overall bill is, but that includes all of our utilities. It kind of comes in multiple bills each month. I can tell you that Duke Energy has not become any cheaper since I took office 11 years ago. But the bill's not that much higher than it used to be. So, and as for Margaret Avenue, we're not done with that project yet. So there's guardrail going in, there's lights going in, there's more asphalt going in. There's still a lot of work to be done. We had to pause for the winter, and those things will be completed in the spring when the construction company comes back. So hopefully I was able to answer those questions, Madam President.
Thank you. A little off the subject, but we might as well get it answered while we have it.
Yep.
Is there any other public comment about the tax anticipation rule? If there is no more public comment, I open it now to the council for questions or comments. Councilman Elliott.
Mayor, on the Schedule B document that you provided to us, I see a low total cash balance in October. In the second half of the year, the lowest cash balance is October. That's still $1.7 million. Does that indicate we could perhaps pay a little more than the $500,000 in June, July?
Maybe, but I would rather wait to see if the revenues reach what we think they're going to, because right now it's purely people's opinions and estimates. And we'll know in a few months if that's going to hold true. Maybe it's even better than that. Maybe it's worse than that.
Okay.
But I feel pretty confident about this number. But it could still go up or down.
Okay. But, I mean, even if we paid down in September, October, that's
yeah, and we could.
Two
yep.
or 3 months.
Yeah, we, you know, actually we paid on Friday, last Friday, we paid the tax anticipation warrant. And on Monday, they gave us a check back for $1,700 because we paid it 3 days early. So whichever way you do it, yes, you would save money.
Okay. And then do we have enough net positive balances at certain times of the year to earn any interest on those positive balances?
We get a little bit, but not much. You know, now, okay. Now banks are starting to pay a little bit more, so maybe it'll start swinging back. I mean, there for a while, it was just like we were getting 50 bucks. I mean, it was, yeah.
Make a phone call.
Maybe we'll have more cash sitting in the bank, But two, they're paying more interest now than they were in the past.
And then does this factor in the projects?
Yes.
Like the CIB payments?
Everything.
Everything?
100%.
Okay.
That's why we won't probably hit 100%, or some of this may shift into the next year. So the
variable then is the revenue.
We tried to plug in specific things like, you know, we're going to have to write a check for Lafayette Avenue in November or December of this year, about $1.2
million.
Okay. So we, from a timing perspective, we shoved that to the end of the year when we're going to make that payment. We did that with a few other big things, but the small things, you know, we don't know yet.
Okay.
So that's factored in as best of our knowledge today.
So now that we have this schedule as a budget, would it be too much trouble to get an actual going forward of this to just kind of make the comparisons of the January?
No, it wouldn't be difficult, but what we can do is at the end of January, which means it'll be at the end of February when you would get that first report, right?
Right.
We could show comparables to that, you know, spread this on out and put it next to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It looks like it's pulling off, you know, 15 or 20 numbers and add them up.
Yeah, no, we've not done that in the past, but we could easily do that.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I would request that then.
Okay. We'll just add it there and just keep shoving this thing out.
That's under the assumption that our controller has found the staff members for the additional positions we put in the budget.
We found one, so we're still we'll find another one here.
All right.
We hired one this week.
Okay. I yield.
Is there any other question or comment by council members?
Madam President.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I noticed that on both scenarios, A and B, the Holman Links and Ray Park numbers are all in the negative. That's not a surprise, of course, but can you remind us what the situation there is and what the plan is going forward?
Well, and of course, as you know, that's the accumulation of many, many years of negative. At the end of the year, we lose money on the two golf courses, so it adds to the number. We just cut $271 million out of the golf, but if you guys read Dave's story in the paper the other day, sorry not to call you out on that, Ms. Taylor, but we made about a little over $200,000 in cuts to both of those budgets. With increased property tax dollars that will be going to the Parks Department in the future, beginning in 2020, this year we couldn't do it because we don't know what they are, so we're just going to bank that money. We'll be able to increase the budget a little bit to pick up and help with some of these funds, those two funds, I should say. The rest of them are balanced. I think that we need more golfers. That's what we need. I mean, we've lowered the expenses about as low as we can go, without any question. We need more people to play golf. So I think what we'll do is, as we progress, we'll see what the park board does for the rates or not. You know, I mean, that's kind of always a challenge each year to see how they affect the rates. Last year was a decent year for the golf courses. It started off bad. It was very wet early in the year, but they made up for some of that later in the year. So I think what we need to do is, when I get my final numbers in, then we can go back and take a look at what market opportunities there might be. But right now, it would be very difficult for anybody to come along and offer to manage the courses, and then when they ask us to provide our subsidy to that, that subsidy is about the same as what we're losing now. And so we stay in control without doing that. But I'm not throwing that out because I just don't know enough right this minute about, did we make enough of an impact to where I wanted to be? I know we're going to be better, no doubt about it, but are we better enough?
Okay.
So and when we get that data and we share that with you, when we do the CTAR for March 1st, you know, we have to turn our numbers into the state for their final, I'll know exactly how much of an impact we had probably in February, and we'll be able to talk about that in more detail.
I note that the total remains about $5 million.
And the only way we'll ever clear that off of here is to transfer some money over there, because we're never going to turn enough of a profit to be ever. I mean, even let's say we had a $100,000 profit, it would take us forever to pay it off. And so at some point, we'll have to clear the books on that. We're going to have to balance that out. So this is all in the same pool. And so some year, when we have cash of whatever we decide to do on the books, we transfer it over there to clear that, but the cash balance stays the same at the bottom line.
Right.
But we'll have to do that because we're never going to generate enough revenue to clear it in a short period of time.
And the state moved us in that direction from a bookkeeping perspective last year, right?
Yeah, but they really, these are two non-reverting funds, so they're not as concerned about those. That's just all that's left. Right. So that's still going to be on the radar, but not the way those other operating funds are, because these are non-reverting funds.
And do we expect to be notified by the state every year that this is still an issue?
They will. When they do at the end of the year, when they do our 2018 audit, which I'm not sure when that will be, they will note that we had two negative balances out of our 82 funds. Okay. And they'll say, what are you going to do to fix it? And we'll say, here's what progress we've made. You write it up, and then that's kind of what happens. They know you can't fix it without transferring cash from somewhere over to clear that.
Thanks for that explanation. I yield.
Councilman Morris.
Duke, I just wanted to ask, I've had a few calls about the state of our buses. Are there any plans on purchasing?
Yes, three this year. We plan to and start making payments in 2020.
Great. Thank you. I yield.
Any other comments or questions from council? Thank you, Mayor.
Okay.
Appreciate
Thank you.
Your
So I'll be back next week
on this.
For action.
And we will, for the public, we will be considering this for action next Thursday. So. Councilperson DeBond, would you come around here? He's in trouble now. I just want to thank Curtis for his great work last year on the council. We have a little presentation of a plaque and appreciation for his work. I just want to say, since I've been on the council, I think we had some pretty dicey things we had to deal with this last year, and I think Curtis led us in a very transparent, open way and with a lot of grace, and it was great instruction for me coming in. I'll try to live up to that. I'm not sure I can, but thank
You'll
you so
fine.
Much.
Thank you so much.
And
With that said, I move to adjourn.
Second.
We move to second. We adjourned. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.